So this morning I thought I'd have just a little fun with you. I'd like to ask our congregation one question for your best guesses. How have you any idea how many genres of music there are? Anybody? A wild guess. Five? Anyone else? 305 down here. Any advances on that? Or anyone beg to differ? I'll say it is between 5 and 305. Okay, let me tell you. And this probably changes every single day. But I made a list. Double-sided. Two columns, 187, I did my research on the internet, and as we know, that is always correct. 180, especially with AI these days, 187 different genres. Now, my favourites are shoegaze, steampunk, hey, come on. There are 43 different types of blues. Did you know this, band? The answer is yes. Yes, of course they did. They're experts. Actually, my favourite is actually cowpunk. Cowpunk. Or there's some really weird ones. Brostep, chillstep, garage, psychability, punkability. Crunk. Bubblegum dance. I'm not going to show you that one. Vaporwave. Hang on. There's a couple more. Sludge. I know, they're all nonsense, aren't they? But anyway, 187 different varieties of Heinz soup. I mean, of genres of music. As a person of faith and a minister of the gospel, you would not be surprised to hear that I believe in the God of the Bible, right? You wouldn't be surprised to hear that, would you? No, is the answer. Don't worry, we're not going to get into the whole creation, evolution debate this morning, otherwise we'll be here far too long. But you can be absolutely certain that I believe that God is the creator of all things. How he did it really doesn't concern me too much. I will find out one day when I ask him in person. There's a verse in the Bible, in Colossians, in the New Testament, that says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." So if God created everything, then the logical conclusion would naturally mean that I believe that God is the creator of music. This is where it all ties together, which I do. Now, creation, do you think this was done in silence? Now, I'd like everybody except for one person who knows who he is to close their eyes just for a second. I just want to demonstrate what I think might have sounded like when creation. So please close your eyes just for 1 second. Now, you imagine that multiplied a million times. When the heavens were created, when the earth was created. I mean, that's pretty special. Our band this morning was pretty special, and I just love it. But I was doing a bit of research, and Gustav Holst, you paid some Holst this morning, and he wrote orchestral pieces, sorry, the planets, 7 different pieces of the planets. And when you listen to those, the incredible creativity of those, you can imagine those planets being created to music, God's music. Even whales sing to one another. If you ever watch the natural world programs, whales sing to one another. There is so much in this natural world that we don't even know about yet. Now in the Bible there are multiple examples of the power of music and singing. The story about the fall of Jericho in the Old Testament, you may or may not know about this, but let me read you a short passage from the Old Testament. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing trumpets." Can you imagine marching around a city, blowing your trumpet 7 times around the city, blowing all the way? I think your embouchure might have got a bit messed up by the end of that day. Have the whole army, when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone to go straight in. And then we hear a story in the New Testament about the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, or a good chunk of the New Testament. Paul and Silas were chained up to guards in this prison, in the deepest depths of the prison. And as they were there, they sang. They sang their hearts out, and there was an earthquake and their chains fell off. To the absolute dismay of the jailer, because he was about to kill himself because his prisoners could have escaped and he was held responsible. Never mind there was an earthquake, he was still responsible. And we will all know that music has incredible power to impact us as human beings. It can change our moods. It can lift our moods. It can make us happy. It can make us sad. It can bring us to tears. It can hype us up. It can calm us down. It can get our hearts racing. It can make us drive faster. Has anybody put music on in their car? And loud music, fast music, and suddenly realised you're doing 20 miles over the speed limit. It's so easily done. Music has that power. My friend used to work for Aston Martin, and he was asked to do a service on a very prolific Premier League goal scorer, one of the most famous, who played for Arsenal, and I'm not going to say his name. But when he got in this gentleman's car, the music came on automatically, and it was like gangster rap. And he said to me, if this guy is listening to this music before he plays a game of football, he is going to be hyped, ready to do the business. And he was one of the most prolific scorers. Many of us will have seen Private Owen. Now, you'll understand who this is, particularly the older ones of you, played by a Welsh actor, Ivor Emmanuel, leading the singing of Men of Harlech in the film Zulu. I was going to play a clip this morning, but I couldn't find the right one. They sang together to boost their morale as they faced the overwhelming Zulu forces advancing upon them. It's quite a moving piece of music if you ever get a chance to listen to it or to watch the film. And in the Old Testament, there are stories of David as a young man being called to play his harp before King Saul, because Saul was tormented and David could play his harp and it calmed him down. And our first scripture reading this morning talks about the Ark of the Covenant, which was representative of the presence of God. This ark that contained the Ten Commandments, it was symbolic of God's presence. And That reading tells us how they moved the ark. They did it twice, actually. The first time they did it wrong and somebody died. And so David said, put it in this guy's house. Obed-Edom, actually, you said it this morning. They said, put it in his house because nobody can go near that thing. Can you imagine his children? this ark is in the living room and somebody's just touched it and they died. This is going, do not go near that ark. Do not touch that, kids. But they put this ark, the presence of God, into Obed-Edom's house. And he was blessed beyond all measure. His wealth came rolling in. You can imagine his sheep had multiple lambs. They were never sick. The blessing of God was on that family because the presence of God was there. And then David recognized this and said, we must bring the ark back into the temple. So that story this morning was about when they took that ark to the temple and it was led by the musicians into the city. Thousands upon thousands of people leading this ark with the musicians. Can you imagine the noise that that must have been? But this was a deeply spiritual act for that nation, to bring the presence of God, led by music, into the centre of their city. David was himself a skilled musician, as we just mentioned, a composer of many of the Psalms. He understood the power of music in worship and thanksgiving. Music is used today for it's used within treatment. So many medical treatments. They say they use it for dementia because people suffering with dementia and Alzheimer's, they can't remember the child's name, but you play a piece of music and they can sing the words because it's embedded in their hearts and their minds and they can sing it. They know the tunes. Music is really, really powerful. Music accompanied by worship ushers in God's presence. When we really worship with our whole hearts, we connect with God deep in our spirits. And when that happens, he changes us from the inside out. And one final note today as I finish. Our second reading was taken from the New Testament and is Matthew's account of the Last Supper. And it's almost a throwaway line at the end of one of the most significant accounts in the Bible. Jesus shared a meal with his friends and he told them what was going to happen to him. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew he was going to be crucified. Crucified for the sins of every person, past, present and future on this planet. And yet, what was the last thing they did before they left? One line. They sung a hymn together. I think that's quite significant. We can skip over that. But they sung a hymn together. I don't know what kind of hymn it was. We talked about Zulu. They were at their last hope. They sang together. It's really powerful. Really, really powerful. Music and singing and worship, even if we don't realise it, is integral to our lives and our spirits.